Vabbè, Ari, 2 minuti.
Good morning. We're holding in the remaining few days of Elul, leading up to Rosh Hashanah. We know Chazal tell us these are days of Yumei Rotzon, these are days when Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs were davened until finally they were Nisratzeh, and Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos Shniyos on Yom Kippur. What better way could we have going towards Rosh Hashanah of a kviyas of tefillah followed by a kviyas of Torah? That's the way one's supposed to go towards Rosh Hashanah. And I feel privileged to be able to have a small part in this wonderful kviyas. In fact, we're going to see that the idea of tefillah on Rosh Hashanah is perhaps more central than we would have thought. We know in the Torah, Rosh Hashanah is mentioned as a Yom Teruah, mitzvah to blow shofar. The Mishnah tells us, Mishnah Rosh Hashanah Daf Tesayin, Ba'arba'a Parokim Ha'olam Nidoin. There are 4 times in the year, 4 Parokim, where there's a time of judgment in the year. Pesach Latua, Ba'teres Ha'peres Ha'ilon. Ba'Rosh Hashanah Kol Boye Ha'olam Ovim Nafonav Kivnei Morin. On Rosh Hashanah, all those who exist in the world, even the fun of past before Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivnei Moroin. Maybe we'll see. The Gemara brings a few explanations what Taichin Nei Moroin is. Shneemar Hayotze Yachad Libom Hameiven Al Kol Maaseim. And the Gemara in fact tells us that the pasuk that the Mishnah brings is telling us another idea in that Hayotze Yachad Libom Hameiven Kol Maaseim Kulon. They're all nidan beskiwa achas. Kadosh Baruch Hu does them all, sees everything in one glance. But the Mishnah doesn't actually tell us what is the makor in the Torah, what's the source that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. If you look at the Psukim Kibshutoi, one just learns the Psukim Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Teruah, there's a mitzvah, there's a yontif, there's a mitzvah to bring kabonis, musafin, like in the other yontif. But what's the source? Where do we, the Chazal, take it from that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment? What's the makor for that? So you want to know what the source in the Torah is, you turn over the Amud, the Tezayin on the base, and there the Gemara brings the Drosha. What it says, Amar Rav Yitzchok, Kol Shana Sherosha B'Tchilosa, any year which is Rosha at the beginning of that year, Rosha Reishin He, not Rosha Reishin Ayin, Misasheres B'Soifa, will be prosperous at the end of the year. Shenema Wadash of the Pasuk, Meireishis Hashono Bad Achis Shono. Meireishis, the word Reishis in the Pasuk is written without an Aleph, a lot in Rosh, but Ad Achis, Seifa Sheish La Achis. And Rashi explains on that Gemara. What does it mean the year is Rosh or Reish Shion Betchiloso? Rashi says, She Yisrael Oisin Atzmon Roshin B'Rosh Hashanah. Ledabe tachanunim. Kal Yisrael make themselves ke'ilu, they are poor people. Ledabe tachanunim. Utfilo. Ke'inin shenema tachanunim yedabe rosh. The apostle tells us who is the exemplar par excellence of someone who says tfilo. That is a rosh, a poor person. Tachanunim yedabe rosh. You want to know what is tachanunim? That's yedabe rosh. The way Oni speaks, that's tachanunim. And kol shono, where Yisrael, a Rosh in Betchiloso, that year is going to have Misasheres B'Soifa. So that's the Mekoy, the only Mekoy, as far as I know, that the Gemara brings, that there's a beginning of a year which on which the rest of the year is dependent. And if in fact, if one looks at the context of the Psukim, that Pasuk is written in, the Pasuk is a Pasuk in Pashas Akev. And Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Kal Yisrael, "The Eretz Asher Tavo Shomer L'Rishon Lo Keretz Mitzrayim." The land that you're going to is not the same as the land of Egypt. Asher Yotasa Mishom, Asher Tizras Aracha V'Shkisa Raglecha Kana Yorok. There, things were on autopilot. There was a mile, and it rose. Eretz Asher Tavo Mishom. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Mishom records Limtar Hashomayim Tishtamoyim. And Asher tells us, Moshe Chazal, that it needs the rain to prosper, we need the rain. Klal Yisrael will only be successful in Eretz Yisrael if they have the rain, and rain is something which comes, which is only given ayidei tefillah. Eretz, asher Hashem elokecha doreh shoiso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu examines that land. Tomid inei Hashem elokecha bo, meireishis hashono v'adachris shono. And that's the context of the pasuk. The pasuk is written in a context of Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klal Yisrael, your whole success in Eretz Yisrael is going to be dependent on your tefillahs when you get there. And in that context is written a pasuk that we need to have Yerosh in Mitchiloso to have an achris.
That's for the future of the year,
right.
The Yom HaDin for the last year.
Who says that there's a Yom HaDin on everything you've done? Well, I think that's a natural consequence. So what's the decision going to be based on? It's decided now. And what's that decision going to be based on? The consequence of that is Derech Reis, is it going to be an examination? That means something's going on here, and if you daven, you'll be Masiyach. If you don't daven, you're Masiyach. But part of that is, the din is the judgment of what's going to happen for that year. They're right. This is a code that the din is a judgment for what's going to happen for the following year. And nonetheless, obviously, Chazal are trying to tell us something when the drosha of the tefillah is written as tachanuni midabe rosh. Meireishis hashana. The tefillah has to be the way that a rosh, an oni person, a person who's destitute, he phrases his tefillahs. And the Gemara, Daf Yud Ches from the Aleph, the famous Gemara, or Shnaim Odul Gadoim, Shnaim Odul Amito, the two people who are both in deathly circumstances, either as through illness, or there's a decree of execution upon them. Dinon Shoveh. Ze Yorat, ze lo Yorat. Ze Nitzav, ze lo Nitzav. One survived his illness, the other one was saved from the execution, the other one wasn't. Ma, ze Yorat, ze lo Yorat. Ze Nitzav, ze lo Yorat. So why was one's fate different to the other one? Says the Gemara, ze hispalel v'nene, ve'ze hispalel v'lo inene. One's davened, and his tefillah was accepted, it was answered, and he survived. And the other one also davened, but he wasn't answered. So it doesn't seem fair. He davened, and he davened. Why was he answered? Why is he answered? They both davened, but there's a new concept the Gemara is introducing of tefillah shleimo. There's tefillah, and there's tefillah shleimo. There's a davening way it's supposed to be davened. Rashi says one word, tefillah shleimo, nischaven. Rashi doesn't tell us more. So as one approaches Rosh Hashanah, obviously a time of introspection, obviously a time where we know Chazal telling us the way to go forward is through tefillah, and Chazal tell us that it has to be a tefillah which is a tefillah shleimo. So obviously one seeks to examine how can one improve one's tefillah. And there's many different aspects, there's many different ways one can do to obviously enhance the tefillah. One can come on time for davening, the way one dresses, one behaves during davening. But those things are all really peripheral, they're all ancillary to the davening, they're not the actual tefillah. Obviously it shows you chashivos in davening, your davening will be better, the way you behave in your davening, but that's not what Chazal mean when they say tefillah shleima. Obviously they're good things to do, and obviously one should be trying to improve the tefillah in those ways. But when one's seeking to improve one's tefillah and tefillah shleimo, so the question is, how does one go about that? And when I was thinking about it, I recalled an incident where a family member of mine told me how they went on a trip to Eastern Europe, to Poland, to various different quorum and various different labor camps, examination camps, and he told me that they came to a certain spot. There was a platform or a train station. I don't know if it's still being used as a platform or a train station, but that was a platform of the train station, which was like the last stop where Yidden were loaded off before they were taken to the extermination camps. And the fellow who was their tour guide said to them, on this platform, many Yidden said Shema Yisrael for the last time. This is a place where many didn't arrive here and they knew that this was their last stop, and they knew they said Shema Yisrael for the last time. So that I want everyone here to close their eyes and imagine that they're standing on this platform for the last time, say Shema Yisrael. And they did. And then he said to them, from now on, every single day that you say Shema Yisrael, remember the way that you said Shema Yisrael on this platform. And that's how you say Shema Yisrael every day. And the fellow told me that his Shema Yisrael was a different Shema Yisrael from then on. And I was thinking to myself, it's not really fair, because he went to a trip to Poland and I didn't go to a trip to Poland, so he gets a better Shema Yisrael and I can't get that. Maybe I can try and get the idea, can I extract what was so powerfully emotional that promoted the change in Shema Yisrael, and think about that, and maybe I could use that as well without having to go to Poland. And what I think the point was, is those people standing there, anyone standing there, anyone who knew they were there for the last time, knew they had nothing else. Knew there was no home left, there was no family left, there was no possessions left. They'd been robbed of everything. They knew that their end was very near. The only thing they had left now was to talk to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Their connection to the Rebbeinu Shlom was the only thing that they had left at that moment in time. When they were speaking to Rebbeinu Shlom, they were fully focused on that connection. There was nothing else there. There was nothing else to think about. They weren't going to think about what they're going to have for lunch that day. They weren't going to think about where they're going to go on holiday. They weren't going to think about the extension or the new car or where it was, because there was nothing else. Nothing else was relevant. At that moment in time, there was a clarity that it's me and the Rebbeinu Shlom. And when you have that clarity, the Shema Yisrael is a different Shema Yisrael. And it's really, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says the idea by the Haftarah that we learn on Rosh Hashanah about Chana. We know that Chana teaches us many things in Hilchos Tefillah, how to daven. She was answered and she got a son, Shmuel, after many years. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asks, what was different that year that she was answered? Surely, I think Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says she didn't have children for 19 years. So one year, she davened, and she answered. She never davened until then. But what changed that year that she davened in a way that Tefillah was answered? And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, that year, we know, Lenin and Haftarah, the Kanos Hester, why are you so upset? So, am I not better to you than 10 children? I'm your husband and I'm better than you than 10 children. So at that moment in time, when Elkanah said to her, I'm better than you 10 children, she realized that her husband Elkanah had given up. Her husband Elkanah realized that she's not going to have any more children. Till now she thought Elkanah was a man, Chazal tell us, Eshelekim, he was a Novi. And she relied on him. Surely, okay, I'm going to daven, and he's also going to daven. But at that moment in time, she realized it's only her and the Rebbeinu Shlom. The only person who can ever help her is the Rebbeinu Shlom. There's no one else to rely on anymore. And when she davened in a way that realized it's just her and the Rebbeinu Shlom, then her tefillah was answered. I saw an idea which not directly related nonetheless. Rav Shimshon Pinkus, and he says, someone who's davening for a certain sorrow, tefillah based sorrow, and you see the person's davening, but you don't see any simcha on that person's face, then you know that he's not davening the way he's supposed to be davening. And he says, I'll give you a mashal. So there's a person who needs a bank loan. For whatever purpose, for investment, to buy a home, whatever it is, he needs a large bank loan. And in order to get this bank loan, he has to have a meeting with the bank manager and be able to persuade the bank manager that he qualifies for this loan. And he knows he's just not going to get an appointment with the bank manager. The secretary is just not interested in him. The bank manager's got better things to do with his time. It's not going to happen. And one day, he gets on the bus to go for an intercity journey. And he sees the bank manager sitting there on the bus with a waspesi next to him. And he sits down next to the bank manager. And he knows when he sits down next to the bank manager that in the next few hours, the bank manager's got no one else to talk to. It's only him. So yes, there's an urgency, and he knows that everything hinges on what he says to the bank manager. But imagine the simcha, that he knows he's got this opportunity. He's been trying so hard to be able to see the bank manager. It's impossible, it's nothing there. And now he's got the bank manager, and the bank manager's going to sit there and listen to everything he says. He says, yeah, there's a tremendous responsibility and a tremendous urgency when we daven, and it could be a person that has tremendous sorrows, and he has to daven for those sorrows. But at the same time, you've got the bank manager next to you. You've got the person in charge next to you, you've got Rabbi Shalom, and he's listening to every word you say. And he'll give you as much time as you want. So at the same time, if you know that you are talking to the Rabbi Shalom, there's a simcha on his face. And if you don't see that simcha on the person's face, you know he's not davening the way he's supposed to be davening. Say a short dvar halacha. So an interesting shayla. The Amnei Nezer brings down a Baal Tekeah. He wants to wear earplugs. Can he be moitzi other people? He obviously he won't be moitzi himself. Puts earplugs in his ears. He doesn't hear the shofar. Unless he's blowing several times and he's going to get a headache. He wants to wear earplugs. So when he blows the shofar, he's not going to hear the shofar. Obviously, he can't be yotzer like that. He has to hear the shofar to be yotzer. But can he be moitzi other people when he himself is not hearing the sound of the shofar or not? No, again. Let's see that. Is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch? Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Simon Tovka Peites. There's a Simon, Mi Heim Ruim Litkeh Shofar, who is suitable to be a Baal Tekeah. So the first sif is call Misha in Muchi B'Dova. Einay Moitzi B'Dei Achayim Chivoson. If you want to be Baal Tekeah to Moitzi other people, the first rule is a person has to be a Bach Yuva. Second sif, Cheresh Shaita V'Katon Paturim. Cheresh Shaita V'Katon are Paturim. They generally a Cheresh Shaita V'Katon are not considered B'nei Chiyuva. They do not have the mitzvahs at all. Therefore, they're part of mitzvahs Tzil Shofar. And following on from Sif Aleph, they cannot be made to other people that they have awesome. Okay, he's on the Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't really make a difference because he's going to have to hear himself anyway. He's going to have to hear, at some point in the day, he's going to have to hear Tekiah Shofar for himself. So the point is, now he's blowing for somebody else. It's not really relevant to this question either. The cheresh, afilu medaber ve'inay shemeya. A cheresh, afilu medaber, someone who can't speak ve'inay shemeya, he can't hear. Someone who's deaf. Einay moitzi the kivin de'inay shemeya la bach yuvahu. If he can't hear himself, he's not considered a bach yuva, says the Shulchan Aruch. So that means as follows. When Chazal talk about a cheresh, there are two types of cheresh which can be mentioned in Chazal. There's a cheresh, someone who's deaf and dumb, he can't speak and he can't hear. And generally Chazal consider such a person to be a lav bach yuva. We group him together with a shaita, together with a katan. He's not considered to be mechuyev mitzvahs at all. That's the first type of cheresh. There's another type of cheresh who can't hear. He can speak, but he can't hear. He's deaf. So such a person, he's mechuyev in all mitzvahs. Obviously, tekiyas shofar, he can't be yotzer. He can't hear the shofar. He can't be yotzer, tekiyas shofar. He can't hear, he can't be yotzer. But the Shulchan Aruch adds in, not only can he not be yotzer, but he can't be mitzi other people. He can't blow shofar for other people. Why not? Tekim de'inei shemeya, he can't hear. Lav bach yuvahu. This person's not considered a bach yuvahu. That means, we have a principle. How can I, one person, be mitzi another person? He has to be a bach yuva to meet another person. In essence, it really needs explanation over here as well, the application to tekiyas shofar. The Mefarshim do speak about it. What is the mitzvah of tekiyas shofar? The mitzvah of tekiyas shofar is to hear a shofar which has been blown at the sound of a shofar. So if a katan, a child, blows a shofar, and I listen to that sound, I can't be yotzer, so why not? You're not a bach yuva, so what? I've heard the shofar. My mitzvah is to hear a shofar. What is he doing? What part in it is he doing that makes it invalid to be yotzeh shmiyas shofar with? If a guy were to blow the shofar, I should be yotzeh. The shmiyas ha-shofar, if the mitzvah is the shmiyas kol shofar, I've heard the sound of a shofar. It's different to Chveis Kiddush or Megillah or something else where somebody's saying something and you want to be yotzeh with that speech. If that speech is not a mitzvah, it's not a bracha, it's not Kiddush, he's not saying a bracha. But if your whole mitzvah is just to hear the sound, so why not yotzeh? And Achronim grapple with this question with various different resolutions. The simplest way is to learn that a shofar which is not blown by a Baruch Yuva is not considered a Tkiyas Shofar Shal Mitzvah Bichal. Not Yotzah. Not Yotzah, not Baruch Yuva, Zichron Baruch Yuva.
Like a
cot. Right, the question is why not though? What is the problem? Where exactly lies the problem? How to be Magdi, how to define the problem exactly here? Right. So, the Shulchan Aruch is clearly of the opinion that someone who can't hear, he can't be Yotz the Mitzvah Shofar, therefore he doesn't have the Mitzvah Tkiyas Shofar, he doesn't have the Chiyuv of the Mitzvah, he don't have the Chiyuv, you can't blow for someone else if you don't have the Chiyuv, just like a Cheresh Shofar to be Katan, don't have the Chiyuv, can't blow for someone else, someone who can't hear can't blow for someone else. Says the Abdi Nezer, Simin Tov Lamates, I don't understand. We find other places, someone who can't do the Mitzvah. General question, this is a general question in Kol HaTorah Kula. Someone who is an Oinus, and for one reason or another, due to the circumstance that he's in, he cannot perform that mitzvah. Do we then say, he's not a Baruch Yuva, you're not mechuyav in that mitzvah? Well, let's examine this. It says, Hilchos Tefillin. Someone who doesn't have a left arm can't put on tefillin. Is he allowed to write tefillin? That means we know, to write tefillin, you have to be mechuyav in the mitzvah tefillin. Someone who has a mitzvah tefillin, he can write tefillin. Someone who doesn't have a mitzvah, it's possible. His tefillin, right tefillin, that'd be possible. So someone who doesn't have a left arm, says the Mogen of Rome, nonetheless, he can write tefillin. He can't be mechayim in the mitzvah. Yes, you're right. But he's mechuyim in the mitzvah. It's not his fault. His circumstances beyond his control. He won't be held culpable for not being mechayim in the mitzvah of tefillin. But nonetheless, he's mechuyav to mitzvah tefillin. He cannot fulfill that chiyuv, but he's obligated in the mitzvah, and therefore he qualifies to write tefillin. He's called the Baruch Yuva. Another example, says the Abdi Nezer. What's the din of someone who cannot speak? An ilim, someone who's mute. Again, he's not considered a cheresh, he's mechuyav a Baruch Yuva for all mitzvah of the Torah. But there will be certain mitzvahs where by very nature he cannot be mekayem them. So for example, chalitza. Ilam who can't speak, can't do chalitza. Why? Because there's certain pesukim that a person has to say, the yavam has to say during the chalitza process. And even though, technically speaking, if one didn't say them, the chalitza would still be kosher. But one who cannot say it, if you cannot say the psukim, you're not able to, you cannot do the mitzvah of chalitza. That's the halacha. But an ilim cannot do chalitza because he cannot say the psukim, and even though the psukim are ma'akev, but someone's not able to say the psukim, no fault of his own. But he can't do the mitzvah of chalitza. What about yibum? Normally we have a rule that chalitza and yibum are a two-way process, that if you can't do one, you can't do the other. Yibum and Chalitza go together. Nonetheless, an Ilim can do Yibum. Says Tosis, what's going on here? You can't do Chalitza, you shouldn't be Oile Le Yibum, you shouldn't be able to do Yibum. Says Tosis, no. This person is Oile Le Chalitza. He has a problem with his mouth. But he's Oile Le Chalitza. He has a Chiv Chalitza. He's in the Pasha of Chalitza, he's a Bach Yuv of Chalitza. He has a technical problem which doesn't allow him to do it. Says Aninesa, another example. Someone who can't do the mitzvah, but he's not considered as not being part of the mitzvah. He's not considered as being excluded from the mitzvah. He's considered as being part of that mitzvah, just unable to do it. Cheresh Shofar and Katan are not mechuyav. They have no mitzvah in the first place to do it. Correct. So Abdi Nezer says it's fundamentally different to a Cheresh Shofar to the Katan. So he's asking a question on the Beis Yosef. The Shulchan Aruch says, that someone who cannot hear Tia Shofar cannot be Moitzi somebody else. Says the Beis Yosef, why can someone who cannot hear, he can speak, so he's not a cheresh, he's mechuyav b'mitzvos. He has a technical problem, he can't be Yotze mitzvos Tia Shofar himself. Why can he not blow for somebody else? Says the Beis Yosef, you know why he can't blow? Says the Shulchan Aruch, you know why he can't blow? Because he's a lav bach yuva. Says the Anineza, what do you mean he's a lav bach yuva? He can't do the mitzvah. Okay, he can't do the mitzvah. But he's a bach yuva. He's a regular Yisrael. He's a regular Godel. He's mechuyav in all the mitzvahs of the Torah. This particular mitzvah, due to technical circumstances, beyond his control, he cannot be mekayim that mitzvah. But he's nonetheless a bach yuva. Why does that exclude him from being able to mitzvah other people? That's because he's not a Bach Yuva. He doesn't have the Mitzvah Shofar. This person has Mitzvah Shofar. He's a Bach Yuva. He has a Chiyuv to hear Shofar. He cannot fulfill it. He has a Chiyuv. He's an Oinus. He won't get punished for not fulfilling his Chiyuv. He's mechuyav to listen to Shofar like everyone else. He's got the same mitzvah. The Torah is speaking to him. He can't do what the Torah is telling him to do. So Rav Shachin Avi Ezri goes so far as to say for this reason that the Rambam, he's medayikit from the Rambam, that the Rambam in fact argues the Shulchan Aruch and he's matmi on the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef doesn't bring down any other opinions. He's medayik that the Rambam in fact holds that someone who's deaf can be made to other people. Oh, but the Mekoyer is a kolboy and needs to have an explanation, even according to the Avnei Nezer. So the Avnei Nezer disagrees with the Beis Yosef's explanation. The Beis Yosef says, the din is that a deaf person can't be made to other people. What's the explanation? Says the Beis Yosef, the explanation is, he's not a Bach Yuva. He can't hear. Says the Avnei Nezer, no, I don't agree with that. You cannot say he's not a Bach Yuva because he's an Oinus. An Oinus is a Bach Yuva. So, says the Avnei Nezer, so then what is the explanation for the din of a kolboy? Why is someone who's deaf cannot be made to other people? And says the Avnei Nezer, a new yisoid, a new principle, that someone who's been mekayim a mitzvah, in a way which he himself will not be yotze that mitzvah, he cannot be yotze someone else. That means I'm doing the mitzvah, and the way that I'm doing the mitzvah, I could not be yotze the mitzvah, even if I wanted to, that someone else can't be better than me. If I'm not going to be yotze that way, even though someone else is listening and hearing the shofar, but he can't be better than the person who's actually blowing the shofar. And the person blowing the shofar has no way of being yotze in the mitzvah with this tekiah. He can't be yotze someone else. He's a bach yuva, but he's not being yotze somebody. He's not being yotze somebody. He's not putting on the mitzvah. But you can't be mekayim a mitzvah of someone else if you yourself aren't being mekayim the mitzvah. You can't.
I cannot hold. I mean, no, the person cannot hold.
Yeah.
So therefore, how can he tie tefillin?
No, because he's not doing the mitzvah putting on tefillin. He's not putting on tefillin. No. If he would be putting on the tefillin and trying through that to get somebody else, he'd have the same thing. But, so... It's not a question of bracha. The question is the mitzvah mitzvah. You're yotze the mitzvah without any bracha. You can be yotze the mitzvah without the bracha. The bracha is here. Shai is hard to be yotze the mitzvah here.
So somebody who's already been yotze the mitzvah.
No, yeah, he can still be, because he's doing the mitzvah in a way which he could be yotzer. He's already be yotzer, but the way that he's being mekayim the mitzvah, the way that he's doing what he's doing now, he could be yotzer. That means you can't be better than the person himself. That means if the person himself is not hearing the shofar, so you're considered having blown the shofar and not having heard it. You're considered the same as the person blowing the shofar. You hear the shofar, so you're the same. It's like you heard it and you didn't hear it. Like the person blowing it didn't hear. So anyone who listens to him also, it's like he blew the shofar and didn't hear. You can't be, the Maaseh HaMitzvah can't be the, says that, I mean, he comes out with a chiddush to do that. Comes out with a big chiddush. And he says, therefore, not only a deaf person would this apply to, the same thing would apply to if the person blocked up his ears. He doesn't use the example of earplugs, but equivalent of what his days were was earplugs. If he blocked up his ears in such a way that he couldn't hear Tia Shofar, so when he blows Shofar, there's no way that he's going to be mekayim the mitzvah with this Tia. He can't hear. He can't be made to somebody else. According to the Shulchan Aruch, who says it depends on whether the person is a Bach Yuva, and he considers a person who's deaf not to be a Bach Yuva, there's no question that a person who is not deaf and has temporarily blocked up his ears with earplugs, Avada Yuva, because of the Bach Yuva, according to the Shulchan Aruch. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Beis Yosef, a person who puts earplugs in his ears, Avada, he's a Bach Yuva, he can't hear, he won't be Yotza, the Tekiah Shefer with his Tekiah. Oh, but he's a Bach Yuva. He can meet the other people. But according to the Avnei Nezer, there's a new principle here. The principle is that if the person doing the mitzvah could not be yotzer with this Maisa HaMitzvah, he can't be yotzer someone else. Therefore, even if it's only a temporary impediment, even if it's not affecting his status as a Bach Yuva, but he can't be yotzer the mitzvah with this Tekiah Shofar, so nonetheless, that would still stop him being able to meet the other people. I saw Rabbi Chonon Wasserman and Kovitz Shurim wants to make a fine distinction to answer the position of the Beis Yosef. L'chaira, the Amnineza has asked two strong questions on the Beis Yosef. How can you call someone who, due to the circumstances, is not able to become the mitzvah a lav barach yuva? Two riyas that someone who can't do the mitzvah is an oinus. But he's still a Bach Yuva. He can write tefillin even if he hasn't got an arm. Even if he's got a left arm, he can write tefillin. He can do yibum, even though he can't do chalitza. He's mute. He can't speak. But nonetheless, he can be mekayim yibum. We don't say he's not a Bach chalitza, and therefore the whole yibum process falls away. So Rabbi Chana wants to say a fine distinction, a chiluk. And he wants to say as follows, that when we are coming to be moitzi somebody else, the mitzvah, you have to be a Bach Yuva. That's true. If you want to be mighty somebody else, their chiyuv, you have to be a Bach Yuva. But it's not enough to be a Bach Yuva to be mighty somebody else. You have to be a Bach Yuva bepoil. You have to be actively mechuyuv in that mitzvah. That means, he says, he brings a Yerushalmi, he backs this up with a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi talks about, famous Yerushalmi, about a Baal Korah to be a Megillah, someone who's going to name the Megillah. And we know there's two different days. There's the days for Ben Krach, there's days for Ben E, Yerushalayim, 15th, Shoshan Purim. So can a Baal Korah from Yerushalayim be mighty somebody on the 14th or vice versa? So he brings the Yerushalmi, says that if someone is laning on the incorrect day of their own chiyuv, he cannot be raised to someone else because he's not a Baruch Yuva. So what do you mean he's not a Baruch Yuva? This person's mechuyuv to lay Megillah, there's no question about it. He's mechuyuv to lay on a different day. Avadi is a Baruch Yuva. At this moment in time, he's not mechuyuv. So if you don't have a current chiyuv, you can't be mighty somebody else, the mitzvah. For tefillin, Avadi, You can write tefillin even if you're not actively mechuyev. He says, can you write tefillin at night? There's no chiyuv to put tefillin on at night. So you can still write tefillin at night. Why? Because even at night you're still called the Baruch Yuva of the mitzvah of tefillin. To write you mechuyev the mitzvah of tefillin, the few all its halachas, to write it by day. So you can be a Baruch Yuva, you can be mechuyev the mitzvah. And there's another concept, another level of being actively mechuyev the mitzvah. So during the day, a person is mechuyev bepoil. At night, he's a Baruch Yuva, he's not mechuyev bepoil. So he says, to write tefillin, you have to be mishi yeshnoi b'kshira, you have to have the mitzvah of kshira, yeshnoi b'ksiva. As long as you have the mitzvah, as long as you're mechuyev the mitzvah, you can write tefillin. So it's true. A person without an arm, he can't be mekayim the mitzvah. A person who doesn't have a left arm, he can't put on tefillin. He's a Baruch Yuva. But he won't be considered a Baruch Yuva b'poil. He won't be considered actively mechuyev as an oinus. You can't say he has to do the mitzvah now. You can say he's like a person at night. He's got the chiyuv mitzvah tefillin. You have to do it when you're supposed to do it. You're like at night time, he said you can write tefillin because you're mechuyev to do it the way you're supposed to do it. And the way you're supposed to do it is put it on by day. Similarly, a person without an arm is mechuyev to do the way he's supposed to do it. He can't do it that way. So fine. So he's not actively mechuyev. So therefore he says, it's not a kasha from tefillin. Yes, you're right. We've established that someone who is an oinus is a Baruch Yuva. Someone who cannot do the mitzvah is called a Baruch Yuva, he's mechuyev in that mitzvah, and through no fault of his own, he can't do the mitzvah. He won't get punished for that. And he's called a bar chiyuva, and he can write tefillin. But where you want to be moitzi to someone else, that's not enough. You have to be a bar chiyuva poil. You have to be actively mechuyev. As someone who can't hear, you can't say he has a chiyuv b'poil. You can't say he has an active chiyuv, go blow shofar. There's no point, he can't hear shofar anyway. So the chiyuv b'poil, that higher madrega of bar chiyuv, he's lacking. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch means when it says a lav bar chiyuv. It doesn't mean he's not a bar chiyuv. He means he doesn't have the chiyuv b'poil. Someone who can't hear cannot be made to other people. You know why? Says the Shulchan Aruch is a lav bar chiyuv. What do you mean he's a lav bar chiyuv? He doesn't have that higher level of chiyuv to say he's a bar chiyuv b'poil, and therefore he cannot make to other people. So we've seen the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is clear. Someone who's deaf cannot be moitzi other people. We've seen the machlokes, the Beis Yosef, and the Amnei Nezer, what the reason is. The Beis Yosef holds the lab bachiyuva. The Amnei Nezer says it's because you can't have to be able to yotze the mitzvah. The way that you're doing the mitzvah, you have to be able to yotze the mitzvah. The nachmanim between the two reasons is someone who puts earplugs in. And we've seen a yishuv to the kashya of the Amnei Nezer from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. And we also spoke about a bit the importance of the tefillah shleima, what's shaykh tefillah shleima to Rosh Hashanah. Question should help us. We should go through Rosh Hashanah the way we're supposed to. She's able to exceed her seed of favor. These girls tell you, maybe we know me. Right.